Welcome today to our interview series with outstanding professionals. I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and I'm conducting an exclusive interview with Dr. Catherine Boivy, CEO, Venture Solutions, Senior Vice President, Vancity, founder of the CIO Association of Canada. Catherine is an internationally renowned innovator and top-ranked senior executive. Catherine, you bring a substantive history of significant and considerable contribution to executive leadership and innovation to this interview. We are indeed fortunate to have you share your many deep experiences with the audience. Thank you.
Thank you very much for this opportunity.
Catherine, due to your recognized international standing as a leading top executive, you were invited to a series of summits in China where you keynoted. It was a real pleasure to meet and talk with you while you were in China. And again, congratulations on your remarkable contributions to Canada and internationally.
Thank you.
Catherine, what were your top lessons from the Great Idea VIP delegation to China?
What was great about our visit to China and to the outsourcers is to learn the capabilities that China has in outsourcing and how far they have come to be technically equal or superior to the Western IT community, and the number of qualified people they have to assist in outsourcing. It was also great to meet the members of the delegation who were from all over the world, and it was a great opportunity to network and learn about best practices.
Catherine, can you provide sort of some of the background of what triggered your initial interest in technology and then what forces shaped your interest? And then where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Well, both of my parents are mathematics professors at University of Waterloo, so obviously I had a bit of interest in mathematics. But I liked the application of mathematics in technology and to be able to use it to enable businesses. So I got my Bachelor's of Mathematics degree at Waterloo, just right next to the RIM headquarters where BlackBerry is made, although BlackBerry didn't come about until a few years after I graduated, many years. And after that, I worked in at various organizations, and 10 years after I got my bachelor's, I went back for my master's and PhD. So my interest was in the application of technology. So my master's is on how to apply technology in computer-assisted instructions, and my PhD was on expert systems and how managers and non-IT people could use expert systems in order to transfer their decision-making techniques. And technology interested me especially because it's constantly changing. You never do the same thing twice. There's always something new. There's lots to learn. It's a great opportunity. And 5 years from now, I see myself consulting and advising large organizations on how they could make best use of technology to deliver better products and services to their clients and customers.
Catherine, can you provide your past career highlights and valuable leadership and career lessons for success that you wish to share with the audience?
I had some great opportunities. I didn't limit myself just to work in private or public sector. I made sure that I had experience in both government and I worked for Sperry Unisys. I worked for a consulting firm as well as the government. About 15 years ago, the Canadian Automobile Association, the BC branch of it, brought me from Toronto to Vancouver to head their IT department. And at that time, I had my first experience in serving members. The BCA is a member-based organization. And from there on, I thought that it would be a great way to learn more and to be able to give back to society what I think not by serving members, by providing different services to members. So at the Automobile Association, we had insurance and travel and, of course, emergency road service. And I worked there for 8 years and completely revamped their entire technology infrastructure. Once that was in place, I went to Pacific Blue Cross, which is a healthcare provider. And there again, it's a member-based organization, member-owned organization. And we replaced a large high transaction system that handles claims. And after that, I came to VanCity. VanCity is Canada's largest credit union with over that manages with over $14 billion of our members' assets. We have over 400,000 members and 60 branches, and I'm in charge of technology and facilities. And that gave me an additional skill because managing facilities is almost as challenging as managing technology. When you build a new branch and go and visit it, the tradespeople still look at you rather oddly, being a woman and looking over their plans, etc. But it's a great learning opportunity. So I had progressively more responsible positions, and I served in companies that were for-profit and non-for-profit, as well as government.
Well, Catherine, it's a remarkable career, and I understand you've been recently appointed, and it's a cabinet appointment, to the ICBC board, which is a multi-billion dollar operation. And congratulations on that remarkable achievement.
Yes, thank you very much. It's a wonderful opportunity. I have been on several boards. I was on the YWCA board, where we rewrote the entire board policy manual, which was a really great opportunity. And I am also on the CIO Association of Canada board, which I started when I came to Vancouver, and since then we have taken it nationally. And as part of the CIO Association, we do quite a bit of advocacy. And when we were in Ottawa lobbying politicians about the privacy and confidentiality legislation, as well as allowing IT qualified IT people to come through immigration faster, I met the CEO of the Information and Telecommunication Council, a gentleman named Paul Swinwood, and realized that it's a great opportunity to work with the government on a council of the government to ensure that the proper procedures are in place so that immigrants can get in faster, qualified immigrants can get in faster. So, as I said, it gives me a lot broader experience. Another board I am on is the Certified General Accountants of Canada, and I'm the public representative. So while I have a bachelor's and a master's and a PhD, I do not have a CGA. So I represent an outside view on the board. And again, it's an excellent learning opportunity and learning about best practices. So I rather feel that it makes, I'll give back a little bit to society. I learn a great deal from other people and various board members.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking that you also provide advisory services sitting on one of the council boards of the Simon Fraser University.
Yes, I'm on the business faculty dean's advisory committee with many other people. I think I'm the only IT professional. I think the CEOs and I think the senior VP from BlackBerry sits on there too, and then a number of different people to advise him. And it's again a great way to keep up to date with what's going on.
Now, Catherine, can you profile in more detail some of your current roles and then what you want to accomplish and the value you will deliver to your stakeholders?
Well, I think CIOs in general need to understand the business. So my priority is first to understand the business, and second, know about technology. You know, often people are asked if are CIOs business people who know technology or technology people who know business. But I compare it to a zebra. A zebra is a zebra white with black stripes or black with white stripes. You can't tell. So the best CIOs are those who are, you can't tell if, that they are really in technology because they are business focused with technology in their toolkit. Another area that I feel passionate about is us as CIOs have to make sure that whatever we do from a technology point of view, it's easy to use. You know, there is no training courses for Facebook. There is no training courses how to use an ATM. So technology can be designed to make it easy to use. But if we don't do that, then we'll create a new group of unemployable people, those who don't know technology. Because eventually, even McDonald's, working at McDonald's, you will need to know technology. I was talking to a person who cleans at the Vancouver airport, and he was complaining that he has to know technology because he has to sign in and sign out and report his hours online. So by not making easy-to-use technologies, we are creating a new generation of economic poor, those who don't know technology. So one of my main things when I talk to the people at our China trip, the outsourcers, is to tell them that one of the things that would really benefit us is for them to design easy-to-use screens, easy-to-use technology, because if it takes less training, it's much more valuable to us.
What specific attributes contributed to your outstanding success?
I don't know if there's any specific ones. I have a great support network. I have great friends, and I hope I have a bit of a balanced life. For example, I occasionally participate. There's a group in Vancouver, the Women in Technology, and help them. Because I have a number of contacts and I can assist new volunteer organizations, so they make the right contact. So I think having a good network and good set of friends, supportive people who are willing to tell you things as they are, and a solid education and willing to try something new, you know, not just doing the same thing over and over again, is a great way to make sure that you're always continually learning.
Now, in terms of IT resources and tools, what do you think are the most useful resources and tools that are needed for business?
Well, it really depends on what level the person is at. At my level, by the time it's published in a book, it's too late. So networking is really important. And the reason I started the CIO Association, because when I moved from Toronto to Vancouver, kept phoning back to Toronto for my CIO network to ask questions and run ideas and suggestions by them. And then I thought, you know, there may be CIOs in Vancouver who I could network with. So that's how CIO Association of BC started. And as I mentioned, after it was successful, I took it across Canada, and now I am past president, so it's running on its own with many, many very dedicated volunteers. So one of the tools is to make sure that you belong to associations that assist you. And another resource is to know the business and how the business runs. So I have taken a couple of courses on how boards work on corporate governance. And that's really important because when you're on a board, you see it from the top down rather than the bottom up on how the organization works, and again gives you a new set of skills. So these are just some of the resources that are really important.
You know, you talked about boards and governance. Now, maybe we can drill down into IT governance. What are the most useful IT resources and tools for IT governance?
Well, IT governance is really important, and many CIOs just don't give enough time to make sure that proper governance is in place. Having proper governance means that all of the decisions, that there is transparency in the decisions that are made by IT. For example, at Vancity, we don't have technology projects. All of the projects that IT does are business projects and are known and approved by the business. If it's only done for technology, we really don't need it. The governance part of IT is really the biggest thing you'd see is how projects are prioritized. If it is IT who prioritizes the projects, it will be IT's fault if not the right projects are done, because they cannot really look at it from an overall corporate point of view. So really, governance means who makes what decision and what is their role in that decision.
What are the biggest misconceptions about IT executives and how can they be resolved?
I think the biggest misconception is that IT executives can only talk in technobabble. And I don't think that's so. I make a point of whenever I talk to people is to talk in terms that they would understand. So, for example, when I try to describe what an enterprise architect or an enterprise architect does, I say, just imagine going into a large supermarket to buy your weekly groceries like Costco. Can you imagine how difficult that would be if it would be organized in alphabetical order? So the enterprise architect makes sure that the data is organized in a way that you can best use it. Or some CIOs talk about service-oriented architecture. I don't. When one of the VPs asked me what it was, I said it's simple. You know, you remember when you bought Lego when you got your first Lego when you were 4 or 5 years old, and now that you buy it for your son or daughter, it still works. It still fits into the same set because of the bumps. It has a consistent user interface, which are the two bumps. And that's all service-oriented architecture is. It's a block of code with a consistent user interface. So it's really important to talk in terms of technology that people will understand and can relate to.
So then what are the major challenges for IT executives? And again, how can they be resolved?
Major challenges, I think one of them is the technology hype. There is always new technologies being hyped and new things that you could do, and there is what's called AMS or airline magazine syndrome, where you read about some technology in an airline magazine that was implemented in 2 weeks and saved millions of dollars for the company. But most of the time, those are very local solutions, and just because it works for one, it may not work for another organization. So it's one of the challenges is to separate the hype from the reality. Another one challenge is that's not specific just to technology and IT executives is making sure that you keep up to date with your knowledge, whether it's technology, business, or other areas. It is really important to keep up to date by reading, by taking courses, and not just sit back and be comfortable. If I'm comfortable in my job, it will become boring. I always like new challenges.
So then what are the biggest opportunities for IT executives and how can they be actioned?
I think the biggest opportunity for IT executives is to be part of senior management and make corporate decisions, not technology, corporate decisions on where the organization is going. Technology is not pervasive throughout the organization. There was a time when IT was the one who knew best about technology. Everybody has a PC at home, so you need to make sure that you understand the consumer part of technology as well as the corporate part of technology.
You know, Catherine, you indicated earlier that you founded the CIO Association of Canada, first starting in BC and then expanding across the country, and you're now its past president. What outcomes do you wish to see for the CIO Association of Canada in 5 years?
I think it would be great if they could link up with other associations. Right now, there is a strong link with the European CIO Association, and we are just starting working with the Russian CIO Association, as well as making sure that there are opportunities for information exchange. One of the differentiators of the CIO Association is that we have a non-marketing policy that we don't allow even CIOs who are from a vendor organization to market or guests who attend our events to market. If they do, we excuse them from attendance at any future CIO events because all of us CIOs get marketed enough, and we really want this to be a purely best practices and information exchange. 5 years from now, I'm hoping that there will be more CIOs belonging to it. And as this is the only CIO organization that's managed by CIOs, I'm hoping that CIOs will be volunteering their time so that the organization could prosper.
And you've sort of talked about this throughout our discussion today, but what is the value of being involved in professional societies and associations?
You know, there are various designations, and you know, and they are something that is required. But people who only go to these courses to get a registration won't get as rich an experience as if they go there to learn or to extend their skill set. Professional designations are important in order to get recognized in the industry, but they have to have some consistency. I mean, there are some recognized certification like the CGAs or CMAs or CAs. I don't think any of the technology certifications are at that level. The best known, I guess, is the Microsoft Mouse exams or the PMP certification. But even there, they haven't achieved the recognition that a CA or a CGA would achieve. So we have to talk about it and discuss the, just how we would make it more valuable, or is there a, or should we make it more valuable?
You know, earlier in this interview, you talked about CIOs and boards of directors and sort of this kind of relationship that can be formed between them. Can you give us more insights about this relationship between CIOs and boards and how CIOs and boards can work together?
Yes, I think it's very important to have technology specialists on boards. And I don't mean by technology specialist a software configurator. What I mean is a senior executive who is in charge of a technology function being on another organization's board, because almost every part of an organization requires technology now. And there is on every board there is someone from with financial skills and someone with HR skills and someone with governance skills and legal skills. And I think we need to make sure, and we need to lobby, that every board should also have a senior executive with technology skills who then speaks business, not technology.
Well, it's interesting. I did an interview with Warren McFarland. He's the professor at Harvard. He's emeritus status now, but he's written some papers about just the value of having CIOs or people of a technical background on boards, and how you can demonstrate that it impacts the organization in a very positive way. So this very much speaks to what you just talked about.
And again, in my opinion, the key is to speak business, not speak technology. I recently presented to our board a very large core banking replacement project that's in the tens of millions of dollars, and I started off with a picture of a 1974 Impala, Chevrolet Impala. I said, isn't that a gorgeous looking car? But unfortunately, we don't have any more leaded glass, and it doesn't have seat belts. And when I want to interface a CD player, it takes up the entire passenger seat. And I really like the option where you can open the trunk from inside the car, but the 1974 Impala just doesn't have it. So I changed the high beam switch to open the trunk, but it was an undocumented change. So when my girlfriend drove the car at night and wanted to put on the high beam, the trunk popped open. And that's what our core banking system is now. It is 36 years old, and it's difficult to follow all the legal requirements. There are lots of undocumented changes, and that's why we need a new core banking system. And they could relate to it because it was something visible and something that the boards can appreciate the challenges with.
Now, if you could choose the areas, can you provide some of your top predictions of future trends and their implications and opportunities?
I think technology will be further embedded in our everyday life. People nowadays look at technology as a necessary component of their lives, and I think it will be more transparent. It will be built into more things. Aside from PCs, will be lighter and cheaper. They will be much more intuitive. So they would, I predict that they would watch how you use the PC and then learn it, so that you wouldn't have to go through five steps to get to the thing you actually want. It would know that that's how you have been using it, and that's how you're going to use it from now on. And get you there directly. And more vendors will realize that the easier it is to use technology, the more people will use it. I would advocate of having some sort of grading of technology of easy, more difficult, and very difficult to use in order to make sure that technology is geared to the right user community.
Well, it's interesting that you talk about, you know, keeping things simple or easy to use, and it's kind of one of the recommendations of Chuck Thacker, who won the Turing Award this year. And in sort of my discussion with him, sort of his key principle was simplicity. And he, of course, invented or was one of the co-inventors of the first modern PC, laser printing, Ethernet, and so on. So it's really quite interesting. Catherine, what are your top recommended resources?
For whom?
I'm thinking for IT executives and IT professionals. And something that comes to mind, for example, is I know you do presentations to boards and to CIOs and so on. And do they have access to some of your PowerPoint presentations, for example?
Yes. So, for example, at the CIO Association, a chapter or e-seminar occurs, all the presentations are available to members. So my presentation would be included in that. Some of the other tools there are is attending courses like I have started the Institute of Corporate Directors ICD diploma course in order to make sure that I have the knowledge and the tool set to consider a long-term view of technology and business and as it relates to corporate boards. So several resources that one can use.
I see. So what I'm hearing is the CIO Association of Canada website, perhaps, or the Institute of Corporate Directors website, perhaps the ICT Council of Canada, which is the official government council for Canada for the ICT sector. Those could be potential resources where you can get all sorts of content.
Yes. I think it's important to participate in a number of organizations, and not just to those that have to do with technology, but those that are generally better society. So I was a Big Sister for about 10 years, and Big Sister is an organization that assigns an adult to a girl who may be missing a parent or has difficulty coping. And the girl I was assigned had a single father family. Father was had an addiction problem. So people thought that the girl was very lucky to have me, but I thought I was very lucky to have her because she looked at things from a totally different point of view. I remember driving with her. My husband's name is Stellan, and she looked at me and said, "Did you like Stellan before you loved him?" And I thought, I never really thought about that. And I said, "Well, I guess so." And she said, "You mean I have to like the boy?" And, you know, just looking at a different perspective gave me a richer point of view of how she thinks.
That's interesting because, you know, there's this fundamental principle that maybe you, if you're going to get into a relationship, you want to be best friends first before you get further. So.
Yes, but it's interesting looking at this from a 16-year-old's point of view.
Yeah, or the TED conference where Temple Grandin did a talk, and she really talks about having diversity everywhere, including within corporations, and because you're going to get that broader kind of viewpoint, which is valuable to companies.
And that's why it's good to serve on boards and on non-for-profit organizations because you get different point of view. I'm part of the Cochiteen Institute of Public Affairs, which is Toronto-based organization that discuss public affairs type of topics. Its tagline is the summer camp for the mind. It doesn't make any decisions or gives policy papers. All what it focuses on is listening to different points of view and expanding your framework of thinking. We have a very small Western chapter where we get together and talk about how we could improve the education system or how healthcare could be improved or do you give money to panhandlers? So topics that are of interest to all of us doesn't require any special training. It's just that we listen to each other's point of view and thereby are able to look at it from a much broader perspective.
Catherine, in your journey through life and through all the remarkable, outstanding successes that you've had throughout your entire life and many, many facets, do you have any stories that you can share, maybe one or more, something maybe surprising, unexpected, amazing?
Well, it's sort of funny. As I mentioned before, last year I got awarded one of the top 100 most powerful women in Canada, and it was quite an honor. And when I went to Toronto to receive it, one of the agenda item was that they were going to have all 100 women in the room, and we were we could network and talk to each other. And then they reserved 5 minutes where all of us would be standing there, and they would take a picture of us. And I thought, you know, they obviously don't know 100 women and how long it takes them to set up for a picture. But it was really a fascinating opportunity, and talking to these women was really great.
Well, again, you know, you are one of the most powerful executives, not only in Canada, but in the world, and that became very clear when you were keynoting this VIP delegation in another part of the world, and that is in China. So from that position, if you could sum up your life experiences with career tips for the ICT professional, what would be your tips?
I think my very first tip is take care of your family. Your family is most important. And after that, live a life where you experience different situations, different, you can help people achieve their goals, and build up a network of friends and colleagues who can assist you and who can provide support to you, and never stop learning.
Well, we're down to our last couple of questions here. You know, what are your thoughts on computing as a recognized profession like medicine and law or engineering or accounting, with demonstrated professional development, adherence to code of ethics, and globally recognized credentials?
I think it is a very large task, and probably will have a number of difficult challenges to overcome, because some of these took decades, if not centuries, to get officially recognized as a designation. And technology is so young and has grown so fast in such little time. So it would be a great challenge to look at. You know, as I mentioned, some, like the PMPs, have done it in a relatively short time. But as I said, it takes a while to get acceptance for a designation and certification recognition worldwide.
Well, I know that you sit on a board, the ICT Sector Council of Canada, and they're trying to move in this direction. So, again, kudos to the board to try to take this kind of leadership position, and it'll take a lot of work. But I hope much success for the work of the ICTC Council of Canada.
Mm-hmm. Well, and if you don't start it, you can't just give up, because it's really difficult.
Or, as you indicated, it's always good to try to reach in all the endeavors that you do, right? So you're not just
mm-hmm.
always safe and comfortable. So.
Yep, I agree.
You know, Catherine, we've covered it in many areas, but if you were doing the interview, what questions would you ask, and then what would be your answers?
Wow, that's quite a question. Because you covered a large variety. I think maybe one of the topics I would approach is how to make sure you live a balanced life. And from my point of view, it has to be friends and family and work and giving back as much as I take out of it. I have this philosophy of good enough, you know, like if you have a three-bedroom house, is good enough. Just because you have the money doesn't mean you have to get a bigger house, but the money is there to help others. I have set up scholarships such as one at the YWCA to assist single women who go back to school, to provide them qualified childcare, because I feel that we have to break the cycle of single mothers, and the only way we're going to do that is by making sure that they are educated. Set up scholarships at universities so that people could study and not be worried about the money. I mentioned to you the Kuching Institute of Public Affairs, and set up a scholarship that to make sure that people who otherwise couldn't attend the conference are able to get financial assistance so the conference could hear of from those people who can afford to attend it and from those who may not be able to, because their point of view is just as valid. So I feel it's important to give back as much as you take out of society and have a balanced life.
Well, Catherine, it's amazing, and I know that even the CIO Association of Canada, for example, has set up a scholarship in your name because of all the contributions you've made to this country and internationally.
That was a great surprise, and I really appreciated them doing it.
And I guess that's at, what, Ryerson University?
Yes, it was at the 10th anniversary of the CIO Association being there, and it was a great recognition, and I was very humbled by it.
Well, Catherine, we will continue to follow your significant global and historical contributions. You have this remarkable long history of success, and we know this will continue into the far future, and we thank you for sharing your time, wisdom, and accumulated deep insights with our audience.
And thank you very much for the opportunity to talk to you. It has been a great talk, and I hope people who listen to it get something out of it.
Well, they definitely will.
Thank you very much.
I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and this concludes our exclusive interview with Dr. Catherine Boivy, CEO of Venture Solutions, Senior Vice President, VanCity, founder of the CIO Association of Canada. Catherine is an internationally renowned innovator and top-ranked senior executive.